Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wally Butterworth. This recording documents the long-concealed conspiracy of the Jewish money power to throw the United States into a world government and control it under world law. There is indisputable proof of the plan to use Negro racial violence to achieve this world revolution, plus the use of a world money system and a world police force to forever bind every nation into captivity. Above all else, this record offers documented proof that it has been the paramount aim of this accursed Jewish race, eternally damned by our Christian God, to destroy every semblance of Christianity. This hellish secret plot has been the supreme goal of every Jew since the very day Christ was crucified by the Jews. And we give you this information from their own writings. The Jew is coming to the full realization of his goal, for he has, through the vehicle of Jewish communism alone, with the control of every great nation's money, already enslaved one-third the peoples of the earth. Through skillfully planned wars and revolutions, he has successfully murdered in wholesale slaughter more than 100 million Christians in Europe and Asia alone. And unless you white Christian-blooded Americans unite as one person to retaliate in full measure right now, then America is next on the list, and America means you. The white Christian-blooded American is the sole remaining obstacle that can block the Jews' ascension to world power. So successful have these fiends been in the last 100 years that now their evil design is published widely enough for all the world to read. In bringing you up to this present-day reality, we must first go back and highlight a few of the stepping stones of Jewish hatred and show you how long the diabolical scheme has been drilled into the mind and heart of every Jew of every generation. 54 years ago, in 1912, a leading communist Jew in England named Israel Cohen wrote a book called A Racial Program for the 20th Century. The following passage can be found on page 8559 of the Congressional Record. We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tension. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by the whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro against the whites, we will endeavor to instill in the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of Negroes. How is that, you stupid, brainwashed Christian clergy? But we continue from Cohen's book. Quote, we will aid the Negroes to rise to prominence in every walk of life, in the professions, in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause. Unquote. Now do you see why any group picture on Jewish television, newspapers, and magazines must include a Negro as part of this plan outlined over 50 years ago in England? Right now, a traitor president in Congress is ready to bring 3,000 blacks from each of the 25 new African nations in the United Nations. They're going to be settled in the northwestern states, headhunters who don't speak a word of English, sheep herders for Montana, if you please, as an example. But let us go back to the year 1860 and read the part of the Jewish Manifesto issued to the Jews of the universe by a forerunner of today's communist Jew, one Adolphe Crémieux, a French Jew, the founder of the Universal Jewish Alliance. It begins, quote, the union we desire to found will not be a French, English, Irish, or German union, but a Jewish one, an universal one. Our nationality is the religion of our forefathers, and we recognize no other nationality. The Jewish teaching must cover the earth. Israelites, our cause is great and holy, and its success is guaranteed. Catholicism, our immemorial enemy, is lying in the dust, mortally wounded in the head. The day is not far distant when all the riches and treasures of the earth will become the property of the children of Israel. Unquote. Now, you dumb goyim clergy, rush down to the meeting of that stinking brotherhood of Christians and Jews. This French Jew Cremieux who wrote that was a lawyer. His chief claim to fame was when he won or bought the acquittal of a band of Jews in the Damascus affair of 1840, charged with ritual murder of Christian children as a blood sacrifice for the Passover. He got the Sultan to issue a decree that no Jew would ever again be charged with ritual murder. This entire manifesto appears on page 3 of the London Morning Post, September the 6th, 1920. We give you an authentic copy with each of these recordings. Now let us consult a very rare book long ago withdrawn from circulation by the Jews themselves. In the year 1863, another English Jew, who was really an author, became the Prime Minister of England. This Jew's name was Benjamin Disraeli, son of Isaac Disraeli, an English writer, and grandson of a Jew from Venice, Italy, one encyclopedia describing him as a Venetian Pharisee Jew. The book from which we read is a rare original copy of the works of Benjamin Disraeli. He swung much political power in England after the bankruptcy of England due to false information about the Battle of Waterloo with Napoleon Bonaparte in 1850, and it resulted in the establishment of the Bank of England with the Rothschilds in control. From that day on, every Jew in England, including this Disraeli 50 years later, was riding high, wide, and handsome. Disraeli was for 14 years Prime Minister of England. Listen to his words, quote, "The world has by this time discovered it is impossible to destroy the Jews. Egyptian pharaohs, Assyrian kings, Roman emperors, Scandinavian crusaders, Gothic princes, and holy inquisitors have alike devoted themselves to the fulfillment of this common cause. All of which proves that it is in vain to attempt to battle the inexorable law of nature, which has decreed that a superior race shall never be destroyed by an inferior. Destruction of the Semitic principle and the natural equality of man and abrogation of property are proclaimed by the secret societies who form provisional governments, and men of the Jewish race are found at the head of every one of them. The people of God cooperate with atheists. The most skillful accumulators of property ally themselves with communists. We're reading Disraeli now. The peculiar and chosen race touch the hand of all the scum of Europe. And all because they wish to destroy that ungrateful Christendom which owes to them its very name and whose tyranny they can no longer endure." Unquote. Can you imagine that kike daring to write such a book while Prime Minister of England? But get a load of this and ask yourself just when and where the Jews of this 20th century changed their minds. We quote the Jew Disraeli again. "The Jews are the living and most striking evidence of the falsity of that pernicious doctrine of modern times, the natural equality of man. Political equality depends upon political considerations and circumstances. Natural equality is a principle which, were it possible to act on it, would destroy all the genius in the world. What would be the consequence on the great Anglo-Saxon Republic, for example, meaning the United States, were its citizens to mingle with their Negro and colored populations? In the course of time, they would become so deteriorated that their states would probably be reconquered by the Aborigines, meaning the Indians, whom they have expelled and who would then be their superiors. But though nature will never permit this theory to be practiced, the preaching of this dogma has already caused much mischief and may occasion much more. The native tendency of the Jewish race, who are justly proud of their blood, is against the doctrine of the equality of man." Unquote. We repeat, since 1880, when did you Jewish swine decide to adopt Disraeli's race mongrelization as your secret Jewish plan to destroy America? If you dare to deny it, you lie in your kosher teeth. Dear friends, we've reproduced these words and many more from Disraeli's book and from the London Morning Post of 1920 at a prohibitive cost. When you pay for this recording, and if you want a few extra copies of this documentation, please add a contribution toward this printing and the obtaining of this wonderful material. We want you to have the printed facts to refute any arguments of arch traitors to America, communists, brainwashed preachers, and treasonous educators and politicians. And now we come to the pièce de résistance of this record. What does every Jew think today? What is every Jew of today taught at home, in shul or Hebrew school, and in the synagogue, about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and about Christians? There is only one place to get this information, for a copy of the whole thing is in every Jewish synagogue in the world right this minute. It is their book of mortal hate and filth called the Talmud. This Talmud contains the lunatic writings, ramblings, and arguments of demented Jewish rabbis for the last 1,800 years. This Talmud has been condemned, destroyed, and burned by 100 kings of every nation on earth, and equally as many popes, solely because of the hatred, venom, and blasphemy of Christianity and all Christians, plus the sex, filth, and immorality it contains. In the year 553, it was forbidden in the Roman Empire by the Emperor Justinian, when it was only about one-tenth finished. It has been burned in our own 20th century, and all of the centuries between. The most indisputable short treatise on the Talmud is a booklet called The Talmud Unmasked, or The Secret Rabbinical Teachings Concerning Christians. It was written by the very learned Reverend Justin B. Pronitis, who was Master of Theology and Professor of Hebrew at the Imperial Ecclesiastical Academy in St. Petersburg under the Tsars of Russia, later called Stalingrad and now called Leningrad. The friends of this brave Roman Catholic priest told him that the Jews would kill him, and they did in the Bolshevik Revolution. He was murdered by the Cheka, or secret Jewish Russian police. But, says Father Pronitis, lest I be accused of a corrupted text of the Talmud, I have placed the Latin text opposite the Hebrew. So let any person dare to challenge its authenticity. Do you know the meaning of the Hebrew word goy, G-O-I? It means cattle and is the word by which Christians are called by all the Jews both in Yiddish and Hebrew. It actually means dumb cattle, for cattle are dumb animals, and that the goy or goyim, which is the plural, are animals in human form that were put on earth to be the slaves of Jews. It is high time for every white Christian American to take a brand new inventory and assessment of these Jews from the one source that forever condemns them, every one of them. Only then can we know that this Jew is the one great enemy of our country, our laws, our constitution, our liberties, and our worship of Jesus Christ as the Son of Almighty God. We now quote Reverend Pronitis, or read his translations. Says Father Pronitis, many passages in the Talmud books treat of the birth, life, death, and teachings of Jesus Christ. He is not always referred to by the same name, but is diversely called that man, a certain one, and the one who was hanged. The real name of Christ in Hebrew is Yeshua, and the word Yeshua in Hebrew means Savior. Hence that word is rarely, if ever, used in the Talmud. What is used is a word maliciously contracted from three other Hebrew words using the first syllables, Imach Shemo Vesikro, meaning may his name and memory be blotted out. The first syllables of these words put together form the word issue instead of Yeshu, and that is what every Jew today calls Jesus. Issue, may his name and memory be blotted out. Another word similar to goy is the word akum, A-K-U-M, meaning worshiper of the stars and planets. In the Talmud book Orach Chaim, those who use a cross are called Akum. And also those who celebrate Christmas are worshippers of the stars, including the Star of Bethlehem. In the Talmud book Orach Shayim, dealing with the seed of life, we read this infamy. God created beautiful creatures in the world in the form of men for the glory of Israel. But Ekum, or Christians, were created for the sole end of ministering unto the Jews day and night. Nor can they ever be relieved from this service. It is becoming to the son of a king, an Israelite, that animals in natural form and animals in human form should minister unto him. Well, every one of you dumb goyim who buy from these Jews or work for them are carrying out the servitude described by these mentally sick swine. Back to the Reverend Phronitis. The book Sanhedrin of the Talmud, which is the book of Jewish laws or courts, also teaches that Christians propagate like beasts. Part 74b says, quote, "The sexual intercourse of a goy is like that of a beast, and the seed of a goy is worth the same as that of a beast." The book Shulchan Aruch orders that a dead Christian must be spoken of in the same way as a dead animal. End of Father Phronitis right here. We heartily recommend that these passages be mailed to that Presbyterian nitwit Eugene Carson Blake, the atheist Episcopalian Bishop James Pike, or this idiotic Bishop DeWitt in Philadelphia. It might also be sent to all the Christian clerical riffraff in the Brotherhood of the National Council of Christians and Jews. Some brotherhood. Now to the tripe in this Talmud concerning Christians. We read Reverend Phronitis again. A Jew is required to avoid Christians and do all he can to exterminate them. A Jew, by the fact that he belongs to the chosen people and is circumcised, possesses such dignity that no one, not even an angel, can share equality with him. He who slaps an Israelite, says Rabbi Shanina, acts as if he slaps the face of God's divine majesty, or even assuming that the latter could ever be possible is the height of blasphemy. This choice morsel is from the Talmud book of Zohar. Quote, "The Jew is commanded to harm Christians wherever he can, both indirectly by not helping them in any way, and directly by wrecking their plans and projects. In the book Abhodah Zarah, meaning worshipper of idols, it says, 'Do not say anything in praise of them, lest it be said how good that goy is. Their idols must be destroyed and called by contemptuous names.'" Rabbi Bekai explains the book of Deuteronomy about hating idolatry. He says, "If the name of a goy church is Beth Galia, or House of Magnificence, it should be called Beth Karia, meaning a pig's house or a latrine. The name of Mary, the mother of Jesus in Hebrew, is Miriam, but the Jews in the Talmud call her Sharia, meaning dung. And in German Yiddish, she is called Dreck, or excrement. Easter in the Talmud is not called by its proper name in Hebrew, which is Pesach, but Kesach, meaning gallows." Reverend Phronitis gives us one final touch to forever explode the garbage of racial brotherhood with any Jew. We again quote from the Talmud, "The life of a goy and all his physical powers belong to a Jew. Therefore, it is the axiom of the rabbis that a Jew may take anything that belongs to a Christian for any reason whatever, even by fraud, nor can such be called robbery, because he is merely taking what belongs to him." Concludes Father Phronitis, "I am prepared to lay down my life," and he quotes St. John 18:37, "that I may bear witness to the truth." And so the Jews murdered him. We could go on quoting you this tripe by the hour, the day, the week, or the month, but read it yourself. Get Father Phronitis's book, The Talmud Unmasked, from Christian Educational Association at Union, New Jersey, for $1 a copy. In conclusion, we ask you, has not every piece of legislation from civil rights to voting rights and the whole problem of Negro racial strife been Jewish engineered? Civil rights was introduced into Congress by two anti-Christian Jews, Senator Jake Javits of New York in the Senate, and both civil rights and voting rights by Emanuel Sellers of New York into the House. Have you done anything to stamp it out? Let us go back to Christmas of 1913, and Christmas in the Talmud is called Nital, or Day of Extermination. Have you marched on Washington to threaten the political extermination to millionaire paid-off traitors who have refused to repeal the Federal Reserve Act, which gives these Jewish private bankers power to print and control all American money? We are indeed dumb goyim, for our gold and now all our silver has been stolen by these Jews. Our country is bankrupt, and soon your investments and insurance will all be wiped away. Who is the hate monger? We who protest the continuance of these Jews among us and in our government, with their blasphemies and mortal hatred of us, or they themselves who have sworn to wipe Christianity and all Christians off the earth? Christianity is as dead as a doornail in every communist Jewish nation under the United Nations. It is on its last legs in America, unless the order of B'nai B'rith, the American Jewish Committee, and such outfits as the National Council of Churches are totally destroyed. If you are not willing to finance those of us who fight, and who are willing to organize every white Christian-blooded American into an unbeatable army, then you yourselves are the greatest contributors to help the Christ-killing Jew to destroy Christianity. You are helping this Jew with all his cunning to pit Protestant against Catholic, Presbyterian against Episcopalian, and the National Council of Churches against free, independent religion. This lying Jew has forced you to join his insignificant army when, united ourselves as one with white Christian-blooded Americans, we can wipe him off the map before the 1968 elections. Now turn this record over and learn what we have to do to put down the Jewish army of rioting, plundering Negroes and put them out of business. And for heaven's sake, send in a good contribution to organize to save your lives and your country. We'll do the work and get the help if you, like the Jew, will financially support us, and we'll win. Thank you.